On Triple M. Good morning, everyone. Last one for the week. It's myself, Tony.
Vegetables.
Martin. Yeah. We've got Ed.
George.
Cavalier. And, of course, Richard.
No.
Basler's.
Gang. Hello, everyone.
That's our Sopranos names.
Yeah, and aren't we picked up today?
We're looking good.
It's because it's casual wear, your jeans to work day in the sales department, so we thought, bugger it, let's put suits on.
Feels good.
Yeah. They zig, we zag.
Uh-huh.
Frankly, it looks like our parents are coming in.
Yeah.
Parents are coming in to see how the show's done.
No, because it's, I realise I've got two suits.
Yeah.
And I don't have either of them at my house. The brown corduroy has gone missing.
Really?
That's a goner.
People want you to put that back on.
But only for street abuse purposes.
Sure, yeah, but it's all part of the fun.
It is all part of the fun. And I had to bang together something. And I think that I've left my suits at my old house.
Yeah.
Where one Johnny Boy used to live. So this is what I'm thinking.
That isn't a suit that you're wearing.
No. It's a pair of Bermuda shorts and a top hat.
Cobbled together.
You know, it's roller skates, Bermuda shorts, top hat. A suit does not make, Richard.
But nevertheless, on the way up here, you were asked if you were making a budget for this quarter. So you're moving up.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to sneak into one of them Imagine pageants.
Oh, yeah.
Big ideas for this gear on.
That's true.
Yeah.
We can consult on some stuff.
I think there's a fine storm scheduled this
afternoon. I've got some first quarter points shaving I'm interested in.
Oh, really?
Shaving.
Okay, I'll meet you in the discovery tank. Okay. Sort that out.
Anyway, enough about us.
It's Easter almost.
You know what I love?
I love chocolate.
Thursday. The thing that's a Friday. But it's a Friday.
Sitting the man for a concert. Is that a number for our concert?
We're not doing anything for the concert. The concert is not happening. It's K-Pro. We've got to make K-Pro work.
Yeah, okay.
We're under the pump on K-Pro.
Are we?
Promotions department are going, see, we let you organise something yourself. Shambles. People on your MySpace are right behind it.
Well, they're saying that they're going to be right behind it.
They're going to be. I've seen some pretty good shots on there, but an Obi-Wan-style cloak.
Oh, yeah, no, we've got to set some rules, people.
It's not a cape.
No, it's not. And then also, there was a kid, a lovely picture of a little kid that got sent in.
No, that's beautiful. It's our first official entry. That's, who's that from? Oh, that's from Jeffrey.
Okay,
Jeffrey Rassif. Look at that.
But did the kid know what it was for? What use does a kid have for an iMac?
That could just be a kid in a Batman costume in any. That could be years ago.
That's exactly right.
We just want the cape.
Yeah.
We don't want a whole Batman costume. No. That's another month.
Yeah, it's not Batman-tober. What we're looking for is you in ordinary dress going about your business.
But with a cape on.
With a cape on.
As simple as that.
A very poorly constructed cape. Please.
It's Thursday that thinks it's a Friday. I guess we've got to do a Friday show.
All jokes must go.
All jokes must go. What's been piling up? What have you got there, Ed Heavily?
Oh, dear. Okay. A man who stole a Louis Vuitton handbag from the front seat of a parked car hid the money he found in his underpants, the Parramatta court heard. Criminals, if you're listening, they always look in the undies, guys. It is the worst place to hide some cash.
Mm.
If you've broken into a car, grab yourself a Louis Vuitton bag and you've got some cash and the police are coming, swallow the money.
Swallow the money.
They'll never check internally.
How about that guy who ate his own underpants?
This one.
Being pulled over.
Yeah, but that was to avoid being busted for drink driving.
Yeah, there's a lot of underpants gear, though. Why does it always begin and end with the underpants?
Look, you go, where have I got? What secret? What won't they go for? Underpants. Not true.
Yeah.
Swallow the money. You shelve the money, if you must. But if you've stolen larger goods, like power tools, you get in a nice secluded place to really chomp down that power drill, you know?
Okay, I think we need to have less talk about shelving on this show.
You started it.
Let's talk about upskirting.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are calling up to say maybe less with the teabag gear. You know, the teabag gear. They didn't like the suggestion that Richard was putting out a dance single called Teabagging Is My Fascination. People were offended by that.
I didn't mind it.
So there won't be any more teabagging talk on the program, although Richard is launching his autobiography, Under My Plum, this week. Under my plum! All right, that's got it out of our system. We have got big news coming up.
I've got huge news.
Big
here.
News. Oh, more God. Wacky side effects for people on Still Not. That's good. Right. God, that'll be next. I'll get this. Straight lines off the new album. Let's get this.
100% in the concert.
What is this concert?
That one.
Still with you?
Yeah, no. Us singing it. Because we, Rich and I were discussing concert after he had a go at me yesterday.
Okay, that could be funny for about 45 seconds.
Yeah, we're only doing 45.
Concerts have to be like 2 or 3 hours.
We're doing a tight 45 seconds of some of our favourites. We're doing the theme for Perfect Strangers.
Right? We're doing you'll be doing the John Mayer.
Yeah, well,
Nights in White Satin.
No, you don't. I'll do Nights in White Satin, but I won't do John Mayer. That's off my old album.
Yeah.
I'm only playing new stuff.
Oh, okay.
And no, you don't, Richard.
Oh, Richard can do You Got the Touch.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, will you do it?
Yeah, You Got the Touch.
He's going to bring Charlene. 5,000,
and I'll do a Chaz and Dave medley.
Oh, wow.
What it is, it's to get this crap night out. It's going to be in the world's worst bar, no stage, normal lighting, one microphone, Charlene 5,000, played by Rich, and a tape deck playing the backing track. If we can't get instrumentals, we'll just play it with their vocals and we'll sing over the top.
Wow, we aim so high on this program.
And well-known comedians, like all of our friends from the show, Rich, you were saying?
Yeah.
Trying to borrow money off you?
Okay, that'll be, yeah, okay, so it's a crap night out and I'm broke at the end of it. Really exciting.
Well, that's anti-sizzle. Hey? That is anti-sizzle.
This crap night out.
This is supposed to be our health and fitness segment. Please, cabs arrive.
Any of our listeners are currently committing crimes and they thought that was the police, well done for trying to eat.
Here's some good news. People who suffer from depression should just rub mud all over their body. This is a friendly bacteria found in soil has the same uplifting effects as those produced by your expensive antidepressant drugs.
Okay.
That must be why those mud wrestling women always look so happy and carefree. Now remember, if you're living in squalor, wallowing in your own filth, you're on the road to happiness, people. That's good news, isn't it? Health and fitness, what else?
I think that just makes other people feel better. You get one depressed guy to lie around the mud rubbing himself. Everybody else thinks it's
funny. This show looks bizarre. Three blokes in suits sitting around reading things out of the paper. It's like an accountant's comedy review.
We're expecting Rich to raise interest rates any minute now.
That'd be just like him, too.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
Well, I have news of the Nikkei. What? No, I had a... here we go. Dog yoga.
This is doga.
Look, in the...
that's what they call it, doga.
Is it?
Yeah, well, see, I joked about that years ago to my wife, who is a yoga teacher.
Yeah, yeah, and dog.
That's because she works in the film industry, so she has to have a second job. And I'm saying, get the dogs to do yoga, call it doga. Oh, yeah, it's a bit of a pun. Moving on. Now they're doing it.
Yeah,
Beverly Hills, people pay a fortune to take the dog to doga.
But dogs don't need it. Like, what is it?
Well, they're already doing down-faced dog. That right?
Yeah, yeah,
they're already doing the up the arsenal, as I call it.
Yeah.
But how much more flexible need a dog be? I mean, they can already lick themselves. I mean, really, once you've got that covered.
Yeah, once the dog masters the short bus open.
Yeah, you're right.
Really, there's no need to spend any more. Have you got there?
No, that was it. There's a story that I left downstairs about dogs doing yoga. But my point is...
National radio
speaker. My point is that we're winning. The cat versus dogs war. Yeah. The cat people are clearly winning when you guys have to resort to doga.
I don't know about that.
It's ridiculous.
Are you sitting on medical news, Mr. Marvel?
I think this is medical news.
Let's hear it.
The Grim Reaper from the famous AIDS campaign.
Back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s. He's celebrating its 20th birthday.
Wow.
You will. This is a guy who was way ahead on the cable thing.
Yeah, he was.
Not necessarily doing good work. But 20 years, he still can't pick up the 7-10 split. But that's amazing, isn't it? 20 years, I didn't know it was 20 years ago. Such an incredible campaign.
Yes, that's right.
There you go. Apparently, it saved 100,000 people. So, you know, it's actually done the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Like, the campaign.
Are you sick? That was that bloke with the two eyes in his first name.
Oh, yeah, Simon.
Yeah, see, that was countering the good work the commercial was doing.
Who was Simon?
He was this bloke from advertising, decided, you know, more vowels were needed in the name.
Bang.
Mm. That put me off.
Creative force of the 80s.
Yeah. I almost went pro-A's for a while there, just because of that. Listen to this. This is all very interesting. We talked about Stillnox before. the sleeping drug.
Yeah.
Legal firm Slater and Gordon is looking at a range of complaints of bizarre behaviours after taking the sleeping aid Stilnox. Now, we've heard of some of these before. Some people say they've had sex without knowing it. That's quite good, I would have thought. Say goodbye to crippling guilt and self-loathing. Put it behind you. We've had people driving cars without even knowing how they found the keys. Driving around in your sleep.
Brilliant, isn't it?
I mean, that's why all these people are driving through the front of houses. Jumping 20 buses, that would be really impressive. If you could do that on Stilnox.
We were talking about Stilnox gladiators and people fighting without a care in the world, half asleep. Oh, Stilnox demo derby.
A fantastic, that's the drowsy driver 500.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
Okay. How about this?
Yeah.
In your Big Brother style, you get a village, a small village, let's say 500-600 people in there.
On Stilnox.
Everyone's on the Knox. See what happens.
I like it. Listen to this. One patient gained 23 kilograms while taking Stilnox.
After eating like a series of cats in their sleep?
No, she was eating through the night. She had no idea how it happened until she was found asleep in front of an open and empty fridge.
I know your pain. I know your pain.
I think my Labrador must be on the Stilnox. Try Palmox for dogs. So this pharmacist somebody told reporter that patients complained of waking with cuts and bruises and no idea what's happened. Oh, that'd be just catching a cab with a footballer. I would have thought. One plumber had started work on the gas mains during the night.
The gas main?
Lighting a match, and his whole kitchen exploded. Right. Gee, that's a bad night's sleep. That should be that guy should be the face of Stilnox. Just standing there in his kitchen, just a black face, hair up in the air. Get yourself a top night's sleep. Get some work done around the house. I did. Thanks to Stilnox. Health and fitness.
There again, there's
the police insisting that everything she does is magic. We've had a few calls here at the Get This Desk at Triple M. Lisa has phoned up saying about that ad with the Grim Reaper bowling aids back in the 80s. Yeah. Her grandmother at that time called up to say, I didn't know you could get AIDS from bowling.
You've missed the point of the ad, haven't you?
See, ads like that very confusing. I remember when I was a kid, it was Jif. And they demonstrated, the things.
Stain-removing power of Jif.
And there was someone on an ice skate just going round and round and round.
Oh, yeah.
And as a kid, I remember going, well, who's ice skating in your bath? Why would they say that? Mum, can we get some ice skates and see if that ad works?
How'd you go? You get any ice skates?
No, I didn't go as far as that.
Oh.
Didn't go. And Dark, here, what I love is on the chaser when they see if things in ads really work.
Yeah.
Didn't see it last night. Did they do one of those?
I didn't see that, no. They did What If Life Were a Musical. That's great fun. And they did The Blind Taxi Driver, and they did something with the West Coast Eagles.
Oh, they're sitting on gold, those people.
Good on them.
An oasis of good stuff at the ABC. look at this today.
Where we go.
Massive article in the paper. Mark Scott, the new head of the ABC.
Scotty boy.
He's outlined his vision. Mark Scott's top priorities for the ABC. Here we go. Let's see. First up, do whatever Jared Henderson reckons.
Good idea. And?
That's it, apparently.
Oh, okay.
That's all it is. I'm sure there'll be more later in the year.
Photograph.
He'll have another meeting at the Sydney Institute and
get some ideas.
Jared will tell him what he's supposed to do.
A sitcom called Jared. But the wacky adventures of the head of the Sydney Institute
and its mysterious source of funding that's never revealed.
We're talking television?
Yeah.
Is that because...
There are now just 4 weeks to go until television's big names pat each other on their backside to the annual Logie Awards.
Our listeners love TV. They watch it so damn closely.
They do.
I thought we were nerds. Listen to this email from Victoria Smith. She says, good example of how thinly stretched Australian TV drama is these days. My boyfriend recently bought season one and two of Stingers on DVD. A, why is it out? B, who'd buy them? Okay, obviously Victoria's boyfriend is the answer.
Is it really working out, Victoria? I would wonder if this is... Is this the best you can do?
It's the Series 7.
Things are undercover.
Is it Series 7?
I'm sure there was. Okay. Ran for years, Stingers.
Anyway.
There was an episode where the team were doing a sting on some Italian drug dealers, and one of the dealers had a blonde pregnant girlfriend who was the informant. Predictably, the girlfriend goes into labour during the sting, and Phelpsy has to be the midwife. Skip forward 10 years. The same blonde girlfriend is now a regular on All Saints. Last night, same actress has got the pillow stuffed up her top again, being wheeled into the hospital and announcing to all and sundry that her waters have broken. And who should be playing the downtrodden husband pushing the wheelchair and making lame jokes about his wife wanting to rip his gonads off? Phelpsy!
Phelpsy!
Who else but a get this listener would notice that?
Because you've got, it's a lot of work there. First of all, you've got to start dating, allegedly, bit of a loser. Then you've got to go through his DVD collection to find Singers. Then you have to watch it. Then you have to watch All Saints. Then you have to write in.
I mean, Singers.
There is no time for any outdoor activity. Good work.
You know, the idea with a TV show on DVD is you're going to watch it again and again.
Yeah.
Now, Sopranos. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Singers.
The Knockout.
Yeah, Singers.
Singers.
I don't know. Let's put on that classic episode 58 of Singers, where the bloke got chased to the top of a high tower.
Oh, gosh. That's right. Oh, yeah. Yes, let's watch that. No, let's not go out. Houston TV News. Somebody, remember we reported a couple of weeks ago, somebody from Big Brother 2000-something was trying to make her mark on such television shows as, and then a list of every television show.
That's right.
CTV Guide.
Foreign Correspondent.
Well, good luck, because now, that's the kind of publicity that they want. Mm. What we have here is the publicity that they deserve, which is that they've been busted for drink driving, and they hadn't eaten all day, and they thought they'd be okay to drive, and can they please have a job? Oh, please, please, why are you hanging up the phone?
Are you going to follow that up? Are you going to make me tick them off to see how many that woman appears
on? Yeah, that's you know. Sorry, his boyfriend probably watches a lot of shows.
I'm just distracted by the idea that Singers is on DVD. I just can't imagine who would be buying it.
So many great things that aren't on DVD.
I know!
That's the issue, but you can get, I think you mentioned Punky Brewster.
Yeah, you can get Punky Brewster.
Every single series of Punky Brewster.
Hello, hello's on DVD.
Hello, hello.
You cannot get Serpico. Pretty popular film. Cannot get it on DVD in this country.
Did Singers do a Serpico-esque storyline?
I'm sure.
That'd be good enough for me.
There's an ad that comes on TV occasionally that says, have you started your... this is true. Have you started your Aloha Low collection yet? Who's thinking about that?
Well, I've crapped into this bag.
Who's putting that down on their to-do list? Brought into your boss's office, Dave. We're pretty happy with your work here at the company, but... Words going round, you haven't started your Aloha Low collection yet. What's the problem, mate?
You said I've been back. Well, I promise I'll stay home and watch daytime TV and call in the next 10 minutes and get an extra 10 episodes. I will, I promise. I will.
All right, important TV news. Is that it?
No. There's a guy who, look at this guy. A biker who got scammed, Biker Chief, somebody, please don't kill us, has, look at this, for when they do the telemovie, Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
Massively wrong.
Hey, Ron Jeremy. Look at that. Luckily, that bikey gang, I think, would take it as a compliment.
Exactly.
It is Ron Jeremy, after
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know,
no,
I wouldn't help you, but...
There you go.
They might not like that as much.
You're gone.
Oh, no.
You are stung.
Allegedly. Hey, people are going to be doing stuff over Easter. I think that's what happens now. People often leave the house and go on a holiday.
Ridiculous.
Third idea, we'd never do it in here.
No, when Singers is on.
But that's not going to stop
us. Imagine the extra features. Deleted scenes. Deleted scowls from Phelpsy.
Deleted drama. We're going to help you out with your holiday. We're going to do that next.
I think that's what we are responding to, but too often it's not.
With myself, Tony Martin, and Ed Cavalier talking with his mouth full. Richard Marsden pushing button.
No, I've timed my bite, Tone. When Rich says 1 minute, that's my cue to chomp one. Okay?
You're balancing a mixed grill on the edge of that table.
How do you do it?
It's insane. Every time I look up, you've got your sort of mouth deep into a different meal.
Yeah.
It's like an overtime montage.
Yes.
Except it's within 5 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, listen to this. We haven't heard much from the pals and insiders recently in the women's mags, but Ian, one of our listeners, has been following things in the Who. Listen, they've been getting more specific about their sources. We now have a story about Beck and Leighton, which mentions, by the way, that Beck refers to herself as the Aussie Victoria Beckham. And then cue vomit sounds. Why would anyone want to refer to themselves as another Victoria Beckham?
Snarky, isn't it?
She's not one of these women who can spend as much money as you want. It's not going to make any money.
You can't do it. Or you should do, just start again. Go in a sheep dip and an acid bath.
Just wash it all off.
And then start again.
No, get a local shop. From the League of Gentlemen.
And the hair.
You know, I don't mind. You can look like what you want. But don't hold yourself up as an international beauty.
I know. And you can see a lot of ribs, but you can see them sort of up near a neck.
Yeah.
That's a bad look. Decorative ribs.
Anyway, that's in the news.
Alluring ribs.
Tennis sauces.
Haven't had that one before.
Story about Tom and Katie that refers to one of Katie's oldest and dearest friends and a top-level Scientology source.
Oh.
How stupid do they think we are?
Oh.
Says M.
Oh, really?
I think the Who magazine thinks you're pretty stupid.
You are an absolute moron, Em.
I remember about a year ago they got rid of their book section and replaced it with a food section.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You liked it.
I loved it. Great reading.
Some of us are going, oh, nobody's reading books anymore.
That's very good.
It's more tits. That's the go. All right, thanks, Em, for being such a...
Hey, Em, that is a really good idea for a segment. How stupid does Who think we are? I'm not going to do it because I'll say that I am.
Yeah.
Rich, you can get some figures happening. You check the Nikkei, Tony.
No, this has nothing to do with the fact that Who came and sat in on a whole show last year, then interviewed us for an hour and never wrote a story because we were too boring.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
I said we were too boring.
You're boring?
I forgot that. None of us have any children.
I forgot that.
She interviewed me about my dog for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, that's not good reading. All right, I had a boob den installed for the article.
Yeah, I'll get a baby bump. No, that's what it takes.
I'll do shroud out.
Yeah,
we're covered.
No dice. What's that other one? There's all these medical. They're uncovering medical conditions.
I've shorted myself.
Yeah.
I love.
Let's have some music, shall we? Richard, can you do that thing where it sounds like it's going to be Woolly Bully and then it turns into something else by the Chili Peppers? Can you do that one?
So going from Sam, Sham and the Pharaohs to...
A sudden gear change.
They give some lyrics that rhyme with Umpty Thump or...
All right, I can sing it away.
All right.
The bump, that's the Chili Peppers. It's Get This on Triple M. It's almost the weekend, one day early.
Good one for the concert, that one, because I think it's in my range.
This concert. I love how it's just a concert. You haven't even got a name for it.
Crap night out.
It's gone from a concert to the concert that has been planned.
It'll be the concert of the century next, Michael Gadensky style.
Might be.
Okay.
Speaking of the choir boys,
let's have some great music right here at Talkback Mountain. I love it.
Hello to all our listeners living in German art communes.
I love it at the moment.
Thursday pretends to be Friday.
Just makes Thursday so much sexier.
No, the sexy new time of Thursday.
It pretends to be another day.
You're wearing crazy.
We're all wearing suits in here because the sales department have gone casual.
Well, I got soup on mine,
so we've gone unnecessarily flippy.
Look at that, Tony.
Look at that. There's a soup stain already. Okay. It's pretty. We look like, I don't know.
We look like we've got our day in court. We look like we've driven through someone's house, and then we've quickly had to like chuck a suit together to try and make ourselves look respectable.
It's Get This for the three defendants.
Can I ask, is that a short sleeve shirt? Because are you like the Malcolm Middle Dad or Sipowicz or Homer Simpson wearing the short sleeve shirt with the tie?
Let's go.
Is that
no, Richard, it's a long sleeve shirt. Is that Lederhosen that you're wearing? Is that, you know?
You're David Branting your tie too. You're doing a bit of a tie fiddling.
You are.
Yeah, it's good.
So much tie fiddling. Is that
what are you doing?
Ghoul uniform you're wearing, Richard?
What are people doing over the weekend? Well, I tell you, if you're thinking of having sex over the weekend, heed the treasurer's advice.
Have one for mum, one for dad, and one for the country.
Oh, he loves talking dirty, Peter Costello.
These days you can go on Virgin, but Virgin doesn't have the number of broods.
Oh, look, please. This isn't the forum for that sort of language, Mr. Costello. What we want to know is, what are you doing over Easter? Call us up, tell us, and we'll help enhance it.
We're going to juice it.
We're going to pimp your weekend.
Yeah, pimp your weekend. We go outside a lot. Mm. We know what's happening around town. Yeah. So we are your men.
I'm going outside this weekend. I'm getting out to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Brilliant.
In my status as one of comedy's old bars.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You go down to the town hall. Young comedians help you up the stairs.
Yeah.
and then you get seen with them, and you somehow it makes you look slightly younger and cooler.
Do you accuse all of the younger comedians of stealing, like using your old material?
No, but I'll just correct them and say in my day.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of that?
Yeah.
Just a bit condescending.
Oh, yeah.
Up on a bit of a high
heel. Yeah, good on you, Tone.
No, I'm going to be in there, and here's my obscure comedy festival recommendation for people visiting Melbourne. 6:30 at the Elephant and Wheelbarrow. Vic Plume is going off.
Vic Plume.
That is the cult figure from comedy, Vic Plume. How would you even describe him to anyone? He was in totally full frontal of the event.
There we go. And most recently, from he did a commercial, I believe it was for a car company, where he was playing Nostradamus.
Oh,
him. And he lays down a wad of cash on the table. And great line, he goes, had a bit of luck on the dish lickers. Woof. It's one of the best performances you'll ever see.
I think he improved the wolf.
It's brilliant.
But, you know, forget that. His name is Vic Plume.
Oh, right. It's such a good name.
Umi Plumes.
All right. And, hey, Mark Watson, don't think if you're in another state, if you're not down in Melbourne, there's nothing for you, because Mark Watson, one of the best acts at this year's festival, is with us in the next hour.
Bang.
That's what I'm doing. What are you doing, Mr. Cavalier?
Nothing.
Over the weekend, nothing.
Yeah, no.
4 days off.
No, Tone, I've bought a little thing that you speak into. You know, the little dictaphone.
Oh, you followed my footsteps.
Yeah, so I'll be sitting around talking into that for a lot of it. I'll be going to the comedy festival a lot.
Yes.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
That me pretending that I'm not in Melbourne. And then I'll be doing other things in other states. I'll be walking the Story Bridge in Brisbane. I'll be
turning your lights off for an hour.
You're trawling Veal Gardens in Adelaide. This
my
is
job,
I'll be going around the states. Don't. My family's all in other cities, so I'll be sitting at home having an Easter egg hunt with myself.
Oh gosh,
it's sad. That sounds a bit sad when you say it out loud.
Richard,
My family also are interstate, so I'll be having an orphan's Easter, and
we'll get together.
Yeah, well, I'll think about that.
Talk about the concert.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get some schematics going for the concert.
Maybe Rove isn't busy. Maybe.
I'm doing some work. And
you'll be on Rove. Rove, of course, Sunday night. Yep. Getting art in the rating.
Yeah.
More of a comedy show this year. That's got to be a good thing.
Less gardening, which I'm liking.
Oh, it's always fun to work on Rove. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'll be on there, but hopefully I'll get some.
You've already filmed something.
I filmed something with Ryan Shelton.
What is it? What are you wearing?
I am actually wearing. This is terrible. I didn't even know I was going to be in the sketch, and I just rolled up and I'm
here. Get your makeup done.
Yeah.
Get your hair done Naomi Robson style.
So that could be coming up.
What is it? What is it, buddy?
I think it's a Rich List parody.
Okay.
What are you doing? What's the costume?
I'm just me. I'm a
contestant. You're rich in the Rich List, like the Richard List? Is that the idea?
It should be.
You'll be. I just can. He's going to appear on the end of that new couch they've got.
Yeah.
And he's just going to punch up everything. Hell yeah. The couch,
you see you later.
Marsland and Rose.
Yeah,
that's where it's
headed. That's a dream. But I'm about 4 years behind people because I'm just starting to watch Lost.
That's terrible, isn't it? Let me give you an update because they watch it all the time at my house.
Don't give me any spoilers.
Listen, Rich. It's just years and years of wandering through the forest,
hoping there's a trapdoor.
Yeah, every now and again someone will come out and look, we've magically found someone else on this island. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, we've magically found 30 other people. Oh, look, there's a whole city. Maybe they're locked on Manhattan Island. It's packed to the rafters.
Certainly with hot people.
It's the most densely populated deserted island the world's ever seen.
I shouldn't have brought it up because I've been dodging spoiler bullets from that show.
Oh, really?
For about 4 years.
So. Hell no.
Okay, let's see if we can ruin someone else's weekend. Call us up, listeners. Tell
what
us
are
your
you doing?
Plans for Easter.
We're going to make them better.
Are we? Let's see if it happens. 1-333-53. There's an Easter coming up. What are people up to? How can we help, Pete Cavalier?
Hello, Mel. No. Hello, Natalie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys going?
Good, thank you. What are you doing?
Well, I'm from Sydney. Come down to Melbourne because my boyfriend's doing a jet fighter ride in Ballarat.
Oh, wait, but do you get to go on the jet fighter ride?
No, I'm just the one who pays for it.
That sucks. So can anyone do this?
Yeah. Pay your money, you can do it.
How much does that cost?
Oh, about $3,500 for about half hour.
You're kidding me.
No.
You are kidding. Wow, you could have made it. Mentally totting up how many DVDs that is.
Yeah, you could. Do you understand how good a Birdman rally costume you could have built for $3,500? That is incredible. So wait a sec. So does he get to blow anything up for $3,500?
Oh, God. That could get me arrested. I'm not going to answer that question.
All right. So has he been saving for ages, or is
no, Natalie's paying for it.
Oh, Natalie. Right.
It's a Christmas present.
This is a big-ass Christmas present.
What did you get from him for Christmas?
Right, I can't have the phone. I'll keep talking on.
The phone you're talking on?
Yeah.
A phone that he bought for $0 on a plane.
Natalie, this is a jib. This relationship is doomed. I think it's as simple as that.
You'll be getting Stingers DVDs for your birthday if you're not careful.
Well, good luck with that. Hopefully it's not one of those jalopies that Brendan Nelson went and bought by mistake.
Hopefully not.
I reckon the only way you can... how are we going to choose? You can choose that up by...
He wants to go to the comedy festival, and I'm just not keen on it.
Not keen on the comedy festival. That's.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to go and just laugh your guts out for about $15.
Yeah,
no, you'd rather spend $3,500.
Watching your boyfriend fly past at 600 kilometres an hour.
That's it.
Down blousing as he goes. All right, thank you, Natalie. Very kind. Nice to talk to you. Hello, Damien. How are you?
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, bro. What are you doing?
I'm taking my girlfriend to Tassie. I'm going to propose to her.
Oh.
And then going to Queensland after that.
Oh, that's pretty nice. But hang on a sec. So you're going to propose to her, did you say?
Yeah,
right. And you just assumed that so few people listen to Get This, that it won't matter if you stay on the show. Because
I love her anyway. So.
Damien, you're a nice man. You know what? You're a nice man.
And
thank you.
What are you going to do in Hobart? Will you take her to both the Cascade and the Bogues factories?
Probably to the Cadbury one because she loves it there.
I've been to the Cadbury one, Damien.
I'm going to hire a car and drive around Tassie and then fly up to Queensland. So,
yeah, Damien, I've done the drive around Tassie and we broke up soon after we got back. So I don't know if it's the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm
not sure if Ed's life serves as a universal template. I will say that. You know, are you eating 7 sandwiches while you're making this call?
No.
All right. No one else is.
Well, look, good luck, Damien. I hope it all goes well. I hope it doesn't fall apart within a matter of day and a half like it did for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Weren't we supposed to enhance these ideas?
Yeah, we did. We told him he was a nice man. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, good day, boys. How you doing?
Good, man. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go spear fishing in a kayak off North Head.
Sit in a kayak and try and shoot at fish that are in the water.
No. We use the kayak because we can't afford a boat.
Ah.
We jump in the kayak and we anchor the kayak and then we jump in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we used to fish off them, but it just took too long for the fish to get on the line.
Look,
so we decided to just go after them.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair enough.
I think this can only be enhanced with alcohol. I think that's the answer here.
That's what you said to me last time.
Really? Standard advice on this program.
Hey,
did we advise you to get drunk last time you called the show, sir?
No, last time I called the show, I found $800 and I went straight down to the land.
Oh, right, yeah.
You're
a man of the world, Chris.
Yeah, congratulated me.
How about this, Chris? Because I went on a fishing trip, the only fishing trip I've ever been on, apart from Xbox fishing, and I saw a guy catch a lobster with his bare hands. How about some of that action?
Nice, mate. You got to find them horns, but I don't know. They're just underneath rocks. I don't like going under rocks.
Yeah, why would you want to go under rocks when you could shoot at them from metres away? Fair enough.
Back, yeah.
If you don't catch anything, do what my stepfather used to do, which is pay some people to be photographed with their fish.
No.
That's a good one.
Thanks, Chris.
I think we have time for one more.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
Yeah, good. Not bad.
What are you doing this weekend?
I get the sheer unadulterated pleasure of scraping people up off the road and taking them to hospital.
Oh.
Something you do for fun, or this is actually your job?
No, it's my job. I'm a paramedic.
Oh, really, Russ?
Yeah.
Russ, have you got sticky fingers, like they say, they all do?
We wash them.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. And can I ask, what is your favourite ambulance movie?
It'd have to be Bringing Out the Dead, Nick Cage.
Really?
Oh. How do you rate Mother Jugs and Speed?
The Raquel Welch part was all right.
Yeah, there we go.
Jugs, of course.
Yeah.
You remember.
Hey, well, Russ, hope you have a good weekend, and
hopefully it's not busy.
That's up to the public.
Yeah, that is up to the public.
Apparently, Ed's way to enhance that is from stealing.
Yeah.
Just stealing from the victim.
But look, Russ, look out for the footy players, dude. They're high on the gear, and they're swinging, you know?
they'll come out swinging. That's their go.
All right, thanks to help the nation once again. Thanks to everyone who called, those who didn't. We will get to you next time, and we'll be back in the next hour, or is it the remainder of this hour, with comedian Mark Watson. Say that occasionally on radio.
Yeah.
I can say it shits me.
You can, yes.
This is midday. Australia's unbelievable. If it's said in a polite English accent,
that's the thing. I can, because of my accent, I can get away with saying something. My mother would probably kill me for it. Yeah, well, not even my mother. I could probably be arrested for saying stuff. I just go around, basically, people are fairly met, women, C word, and they seem to almost get away with it.
Wow.
Wonderful place. Really?
King Bolly Bell language from one of Britain's finest comedians coming up in this hour.
Right, don't people.
Get this. Canned applause, if you could, Mr. Martin. Look, Mark Watson. Now, rest of the country, there's a comedy festival going on in Melbourne, and providing us with great guests on this program. The gala is sort of the kickoff, isn't it? Everyone gets to do about 4 minutes.
Everyone, you get about 12 seconds each to sum up your entire career and your worth as a human.
Yeah.
Did you do some really blue gear?
Oh, I was absolutely filthy. And I got completely naked.
You have to watch it on TV. I don't imagine I'll cut it. I was like shoving stuff and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it now, but it sells units.
Well, we were saying off air, you, of course, were the man who did the 24-hour gig, did a continuous 24-hour gig, getting it down to 4 minutes.
Indeed, it was an insult. I mean, I made it clear to the festival organisers I'm not prepared to do any less than at least 20 hours in the future. And actually, I'm doing a 24-hour show here in Melbourne.
Really?
I am, yes. It's being done in a sort of cloak and dagger way. Well, no one knows about it.
Are you doing it every night?
We're not doing it every night because the laws of time dictate that occasionally I do. I got Dawkins and some of those people onto it, and they worked out it can be done.
Now, you did.
Well, Dawkins is a specialist area, but he was very clever bloke.
Oh, he's a helpful man.
He can do physics as well.
The last time you were here, you explained the whole 24-hour thing, and then I think you broke your own record.
Yeah, I did 36 hours in Edinburgh last year, which, looking back, was kind of long, actually. It was fairly long.
Highlights?
About right.
Any highlights?
Nope. It was pretty much rubbish. Actually, I'll tell you what the highlight was. There was there was a group of Australians. It was a start. And based in Melbourne.
They were beating you up.
calling me a carny. They were in Melbourne. They were based in Melbourne. They were following it, doing a sort of parallel universe version of the show. They followed us. We followed each other by webcam. And then there was a glorious moment of international cooperation where there was a woman who was flying from Edinburgh back to here. And during the course of the show, we got the Melburnians to surprise her and pick her up with banners and flags and those kind of things.
Fantastic.
So, 24 hours after she'd left our show, we had a phone call saying we got her. And it was the sort of biggest thing I've ever organised. It did make me think, if I put this much effort or inspiration into any other aspect of my life, I'd actually maybe have some sort of legacy.
And is it all new material? I mean, you're not sneaking something into the 34th hour that you did in the second hour?
Not only is it new material, it's not even material. It's just more like a nervous breakdown, a long public nervous breakdown.
So how do you top that? I mean, what is this year's Edinburgh?
I'm going back to doing 24 hours in Edinburgh this year, but with this twist, which is I'm doing an environmentally themed show this year. I'm doing a project to
encourage people like me who are a bit crap at the environment to try and all get better. Like Weight Watchers, okay. But instead of being fat, people who are not very greedy. Do you have Weight Watchers here?
Yeah,
I'm trying to do a sort of like no pressure, low confrontation sort of green thing, because that's the whole idea is green people tend to be a bit in your face.
Yeah.
You're not like being told anything.
No,
Britain doesn't like anything.
Britain is rubbish.
Let's talk about how I want to be in Australia and Britain.
I can't imagine, you know, this is obviously stereotyping the British, but I can't imagine the cast of EastEnders going along to see An Inconvenient Truth.
Precisely, no. I don't think most of them are much beyond Shrek at best. So I'm doing that as a sort of an editor, but I'm doing this Melbourne. I think the 24-hour show format suits Melbourne quite well because famously Australia.
We are on for a mad idea. I mean, this is the heart of the Birdman rally.
Precisely. This is a mad idea, and it sort of relies on people getting involved and doing. We send people out to do stunts, and people come back, and it's a massive, great, like a sort of reality TV. Like,
now people's ears are pricked up. I can be on TV.
Imagine reality TV, but without TV, and more like everyone being a bit crazy.
You've just got one wooden camera that's not even got any film. It's just you made it out of Lego and put it in the back of the thing and put TV auditions out the front.
Yeah, you'd get some money.
You'll be pan if you blew the place up then.
There's so much fake tan. The wooden camera.
You speak as if making a camera out of Lego is Charles Day, but you don't mean I can barely get my shoes on in the morning. I'm the clumsiest bugger in the world. The idea of making anything out of Lego is horrifying to me.
Mark Watson does not do a 24-hour show every time. He has a normal proper show.
He's doing it once.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next. Let's get Shine on here and get this on Triple M. The name Mark Watson may not yet be a household one here in Australia, but he's a damn fine stand-up comedian. One of the best you'll see at this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Just took a call during the song and claims someone wants to pass head. What's going on? What are you guys talking about?
Yes, well, my friend Pasquia called, and it was one of these things. Oh, say hello to Ed for me. Fine. Not to us. Then suddenly it's passion. This again is Australia for you.
Yeah. People are so permanently oversexed the whole time.
Just calm down, Australia. That's plenty of time.
Well, we have our federal treasurer in this country urging people to have more sex.
For me, it's a fantastic irony that Britain is, you know, chronically overfull of people. If we have one more person in Britain, we're all going to kill each other. And here you've got adverts going, why don't you come and live here? And this is clearly the best country in the world, and Britain's clearly about the sixth worst country in the world. It's absolutely ludicrous. I'm coming here. I'm just going to come here. My whole show is turning into just a rant about how I'd rather be in Australia.
Well, what they do have in England that we like, and it doesn't always come out here, is the comedy programs on the television.
Oh, yeah.
Great ones. And now there's this fantastic invention, YouTube, and you can see all the stuff the ABC is
doing. Listeners, go to YouTube and type in Time Trumpet. And see Mark Watson and Armando Iannucci going on.
Now, what is Time Trumpet? People won't know what it is. Explain what it is.
It's a show, the idea is it's one of these shows where people endlessly bang on about the past and go, oh, do you remember Take That? Do you remember that?
I remember 1997.
It's horrendous.
It's called What a Year Here.
Yeah, What a Year. There you are. It's normally called I Love in Britain. I Love the 90s. I Love some sort of crap.
Right.
And it's literally almost things like, you know, top 100 use of mirrors in films. That's like, top 100 vegetables people have eaten on telly. You know, absolutely. So it's a satire. Time Trumpet is a satire of that. And the idea is it's set in the future, looking back at the time that hasn't happened yet. So it's like, in 2010, such and such a thing happened. Charlotte Church vomited herself inside out. And blah, blah, blah.
There's a girl with Tony Blair. These ghosts, that's when he finally goes crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and the way it was done was simply that it was nearly all improvised. It's an amazing show. Armando Iannucci, but probably some people will have seen him in Australia.
He was one of the producers and writers of the Alan Partridge Show.
There you go. Yeah.
Also, didn't get here.
Alan Partridge.
No, it was on cable, and it was.
Oh, we talked about this last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Astonishing.
We got birds of a feather.
Yeah. Dear me, are you lucky people?
Have you ever seen a show called Monarch of the Glen?
Oh, dear.
We've got plenty of that.
No wonder people, you look down on the Brits. Not only are we rubbish at cricket, we're deliberately sending you dross. Maybe it's like hustling. We're getting you into a fake sense of security, and then we're going to blitz you in 5 years' time. But Armando Iannucci is one of the funniest and best people in Britain, like, not one of the best people in
Moscow. Well, I don't know. No, I don't know.
He's certainly one of the most outstanding.
He made a show called The Thick of It, which won all the BAFTA awards, and which the ABC have threatened to show several times. We've yet to see
it. Very good show, which features Chris Anderson, who's great.
Chris
Bellingham. And there's, it's a great show. Time Trumpet was a sort of one of these successes where the BBC get a bit twitchy and think, oh, this is a rather odd show. It was extremely odd. I can't emphasize that. There was a whole episode which was largely about David Beckham having himself turned into a centaur, like having himself grafted into the body of a horse. And that was an idea we just talked about, and I went away from that meeting thinking, well, that's one idea that will not be in the show. And then a week later, I got to the shoot, and there's a horse box outside, and I thought, well, he's really done it this time.
But there's great stuff like with they'll interview Jamie Oliver in the year 2032 or something?
Yeah, they'll always look alike to people. They were good. Doing castings for people who look like 65-year-old Jamie Oliver or 80-year-old Anne Robinson. And those bits were brilliant to see this guy look like ancient Jamie Oliver. Yeah, of course, in those days it was all cooking. And I don't like food anymore. Yeah, a very specific thing to look for. Someone who looks like Anne Robinson will look like one day or whatever. Yeah.
Comedy Festival time for us is a chance for all these British and Irish and Scottish comedians to come on the show and tell us about all the great programs we're not getting out here.
Yeah, I mean, I think The Thick of It and Time Trumpet are the two big things that you've missed. We do have Little Britain, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They think if they're giving us Little Britain, everyone will think, well, that's it. Clearly, that's all that's going on.
But a lot of people in Britain think that comedy begins and ends with Little Britain. It's one of those things.
Well, I don't have enough merchandise from them yet. You know what I mean? I've got the tea towel. I've got all of the talking dolls.
I don't know if they've exploited the possibilities of merch. Really.
Or merch, as you call it. Yeah.
The bed sheets, but where are the life-size standees? You know?
It's good, isn't it? Why haven't we yet minted coins?
I don't think that as a nation, I don't think Britain has responded to Little Britain in anything like the way we should have done. I think we need to make a huge fuss and make out that they're the best people of all time. That's what we need to do. Let's have some bloody merch.
Love a bit. What merch are you doing? If someone comes along to see your show, what can they buy? Nothing.
It was frustrating. I've written a book. I've got a novel out in the UK.
Oh, yeah. You actually told us about this last
year. Yeah, it's been out for ages. In fact, I've got another one coming out this year.
And unlike...
the most important person in the world.
I have to say, unlike a lot of novels written by British comedians, this one is apparently quite good and getting very good reviews.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I've had difficulties getting Random House the UK to talk to Random House. It's meant to be on sale as merch.
But
publishers... publishers have this thing where they don't really want too many people to know about or buy the book.
That's not what they're into.
You know, you go to a publisher and say, oh, I'm going to be playing to a couple hundred people every night in Australia. They could buy the book. They go, oh, yes, I'm not sure.
That's a mad idea.
What you should do instead is do some radio show in Britain that no one in the right mind listens to and then kill yourself because no one read your book.
Yes, that's publishers. Now, you've got to do something like, because see, we get, if people haven't heard of you because you're on a show like Little Britain out here, you have to become famous in those mags that you can see. There, like, who's Jay Goody?
Who is Jay Goody?
See, we don't know who that is, but we know that. I know that name.
To be able to ask who's Jay Goody, you're a lucky man. Jay Goody is an appalling woman who, it's not really, well, it is her fault, she's an idiot, but, it's that she's an awful woman who rose to fame by doing the third series of Big Brother.
Wow.
And she became, you know, but sorry, this gets me angry about Britain as well. I'm speaking about it.
Feel free to stand if you want, Mark. We often do that.
To be honest, the other day in Adelaide, I got so drunk that I was not just saying idiotic things like people do when they're drunk, but actually standing up, shouting at people. Like a group of us in a pub, everyone else was sitting down, and I was standing up, declaiming at people, and now my friends. Every time someone does an impression of me, they do it standing up, raving like a lord. And it's extremely humiliating. So now, every time I stand up, now I think of that. During that,
so Jay Goody,
I got so drunk I claimed to be very, very good at tennis and was like one of the top 10 tennis players. I don't remember this. I just know because the next day people were texting me saying, fancy a game of tennis? And I thought, what the hell are you talking about? And it turns out, Jay Goody is an idiot who, but the trouble is, Britain has this thing of, this nice but ill-advised thing about, anyone can become famous, anyone can become famous. So the reason we took, I've always hated her guts, but the reason that Britain took Jay Goody under its wing is because she exemplifies some half-assed British idea of, like, this an ordinary girl.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
but an ordinary girl with huge...
An ordinary girl with,
massive breasts.
Fairly massive, but rather unpleasant breasts. Yeah. From an aesthetic point of view. And I feel like that's probably rude to say that, but it's just because she's now some sort of ironic sex that I can't find.
Yeah, that was the thing. Disgusting. Yeah,
you know, I've got nothing against her. I just hate what she represents, which is Britain's pathetic, small-minded culture. And Jade Goody, I'm in a really. I'm really.
So what's he got? Here we go. Also, I've beaten Pat Cat.
But basically, it's not her. But then, yeah, this year she was on Celebrity Big Brother, the even more.
Oh, that's what I can't take.
And she said some racist things.
Oh,
and
that's right. That's
when
right.
Britain got massively self-righteous, not realising that the whole reason that. If you put idiots on TV and make them really famous, then you can't say idiotic things. Yeah,
but you see, the point here is, Mark, if you had done that yourself, maybe your book would be out.
I know, Tony. And that's why I'm pleased to announce I'm going on Big Brother next year.
And he's
going
to be racist ass. Hey, we're going to play. This is perfect. This is a perfect setup for a new segment called What Have You Done? That's right. We've been in the think tank today. What have you done, Keith?
This is like gold.
Keith Richards has done something. What have you done?
Opening their doors to the sex trade.
Around the nation on Triple M. The program just continues through the ads.
Mate, I've done my best up on that.
It's gold.
Frustrating,
yeah. It's been gold. Now, Mark Watson is with us. Just tell us the name of your show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
It's called I'm Worried I'm Starting to Hate Almost Everyone in the World. You can probably imagine. That's not looking good for us.
Yeah, but it's hard because here I don't. I should have
called it Isn't Britain Crap?
You're so full of goodwill for Australia.
It's just the thing is, you know. British people tend to sort of still have this colonial slightly demeaning attitude. Oh yeah, they're great at sport and barbecues, but it's not me. This idea that Australia has like you know somehow is lacking culture and things.
Okay.
To Melbourne, it's
have they not seen Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe they have. That's the problem.
We've got Big Brother here too, Mark.
Exactly.
And before you start looking down.
Yeah, basically, I think it's a wonderful, and I think Melbourne. Well, the whole of Australia. Australia's just.
Because you've been all around Mount Isa, because you go and do the tour as well.
All up through Queensland. I went to Mount Isa, Bundaberg.
Some of these not lovely places, but
theatres.
Well, I think that's the other thing people are saying. Oh, go to Queensland, you'll go to all these redneck towns. But the worst places we went were still better than a lot of beautiful places.
Still better than the East End of London.
Yeah, let me spot it up. 700 people in a theatre, so that's better than Britain. Nobody smashing you in the face with a bottle. That's better than Britain. I'm sorry to keep going about this, but anyone who does not come and live in Australia is an idiot.
All right, sorted. We're going to do What Have You Done? Mark likes the sound of that segment. We did a segment last week called What Looks Dodgy.
Yeah, I had something that looked pretty dodgy.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do before? We had some mice in our house. We had to put mouse trap. Got this mouse trap, and it's a sort of like little tube, basically. So I had this dead mouse in the trap. I had to go and shake it out of this tube into the bushes because it's dead. And the policeman came to us, what are you doing, mate? And I realised that I was basically just, you can imagine, it looked like I was masturbating. And I was trying to go, no, there's a mouse in here, And I'm not entirely sure you believe me. It wasn't the best moment of my life. Anytime it's a choice between is he masturbating or is he shaking a mouse out of a tube? Either way, my life's not working out that way.
He wasn't doing anything illegal. He was disposing of a body.
Still not that great, though.
Well,
what have you done? Seems like a very, very wide topic.
Let's not play What Looks Dodgy. Let's play What Have You Done? And Keith Richards, I think, is leading the charge.
Oh, well,
next on Get This. That's the papers here at Get This Turning Japanese. Mark Watson is with us. He's got a damn fine show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. He could well be coming to your town if you're not in Melbourne. And we're playing What Have You Done? Now, you're from the country that gave us the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards.
I mean, what has he not done?
What has he not done? And I think everyone's heard the story about what he did with his dad's ashes. Listen to this. Even newsreaders are having trouble keeping a straight face. This is Helen Kapalos on the Melbourne Channel 10 News last night.
The Rolling Stones guitarist has revealed he snorted his father's ashes during a cocaine binge. The 63-year-old told a British music magazine that after his father was cremated, he couldn't resist grinding him up with some cocaine. Cliff Richards died 5 years ago. Now he's like, and there seems to be something funny about the weather.
That's great.
Well covered. Excellent broadcasting.
I think he's had a bit of the ash.
Is there a suggestion today that he was actually joking, Richard?
Remember yesterday we talked about this story and we thought that maybe he was full of it.
Because that was the topic, who's full of it? And we suggested the Keith Richards.
Oh, yeah, I remember originally. Obviously.
Well, apparently he just refuted the story and said I was just joking.
It's really, like, you can't say I couldn't resist grinding up my barbed ashes. I couldn't resist. It's like I couldn't resist having an egg or something. You know? That's not the sort of thing you can not resist.
Is Keith Richards dead, the good stuff? I think Ozzy Osbourne's dead.
Especially the good stuff.
It's wicked, yeah. But you just can't get it.
I don't know how you get it over here.
Stuff like Osbourne's dad.
What have you done? That's what we're saying today, listeners. Not what drugs have you done.
No.
Don't misinterpret us. Just what mad antics
but also,
you got up to.
This is get this. So, you know, if it's mundane, that's all right.
Yeah.
Put some washing out. Let's hear about it.
I mean, it's hard to top, you know, what have you done? A 24-hour comedy gig.
Yeah, that's pretty
Mark
good.
Done. I mean, would that be your best what have you done, Mark?
Well, at the end of the 24-hour show, I proposed to my wife.
Oh.
My then girlfriend.
Was that just last year?
This is the first one, so 2004.
Right.
That was the best thing I've done in my life. That's
an amazing
I didn't plan on doing it. I just did it. And then, obviously, to propose in front of, all these people were crying and stuff. So you don't normally. The one time in my life I felt I'm doing something that actually matters across the rest
of them. Were they crying at the end of the show and you did the proposal to get them back?
Yeah.
It was kind of a last ditch.
It's a big kind of thing. Normally, I would try and save a show by any other means than that.
It's well, she said yes, too. I mean,
it would have cast a bit of a cloud over 24 hours of blistering comedy. Yeah. And she knew that, and that's why she's married to me.
Team fire. I'm trying to think. I've done most of my what have you done on this show over the last year, but I see what my sister has done. She got on to Australia's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stop laughing, Michael.
We've got that now as well.
You've got Australia's Got Talent.
We've got Britain's Got Talent.
Any
Australian talent?
No. Yeah. Well,
apart from me and that fellow who plays cricket.
Guy.
Even Peterson's not really playing there, am I?
Well, my sister went on with her string quartet and they played the
Dexy string quartet.
The final countdown.
Of Europe.
Right?
That's a proof, but I never met.
But you can't rock out quite as much. They were beaten in the audience vote by the bloke who plays the gum leaf. It wouldn't have been as embarrassing if he'd been doing the final countdown.
Yeah.
On the gum leaf.
But what can you do on the gum leaf? Just the skippy thing.
Yeah. No, it's pretty. You can get. You know, he's put struts on it.
Mark is looking confused. Explain what we mean.
This is one of these things like a jumbuck that we don't have.
It's an elderly man with a leaf off a tree, and he plays it like a musical instrument.
I would have been looking to beat him if I were your sister. I'd back myself.
Years of training at the conservatory.
I've got a violin here. Surely.
He should have been just out in the garden having a go at the flora. Okay, that's Richard Marsden has said to me before we went to where. Don't ask me. I don't think I've done anything.
What do you got, Rich?
I don't think I've done anything. You've worn a suit to work, Mr. Mark. Look, we've all worn suits. It's freaking Mark Watson out.
I would have got my best British regalia on. I'd come in a suit of armour.
And a bleep beat his hat.
But it is like metal, and I'm still worried about it.
It's wear your jeans to work day out in the sales department, so we've gone the inverse of that. But are you sort of suggesting now, Richard,
I have done something.
What have you done?
He's got a smile. Okay, well, there's a TV show called Love My Way. It's a really fantastic show, and I believe it is starting maybe in England very soon.
That's what we need, a new TV show.
Yeah.
And it's a drama. It's a new take on old theory.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Relationships and stuff.
Oh, relationships.
Yeah.
How come someone gave relationships for 3 minutes?
It's an Australian show, and I did a really weird fan thing, which I've never done before, and that is drive around Sydney looking for the house, the famous house.
Oh, did you?
From the first series, and I found it, and I got a photo in front of it. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, that's something to do. Yeah. It's a really distinctive house on the cliff.
When you said that's pretty cool, nobody nodded.
Yeah, Nikki's a massive fan.
Love My Way.
I took my wife to the neighbours set last year.
You're a winner.
Not just the set. The festival miraculously arranged for us to, you know, meet the cast and all that kind of thing. And my wife thought it was... It was the best thing ever to happen to including me.
Do you know that Ian Smith, Harold Bishop, does a tight five down at the, when they do the fan events? He comes down and does 5 minutes of stand-up and kills every time.
He does.
I see him do stand-up. I probably would travel to Australia.
And he lays him in the aisles every week.
Actually, see, as well as going on the set, before I knew we were going to be able to go on the set, I took her to this thing in St Kilda, you know, where they wheeled the set.
Yeah.
And it was dreadful, depressing, miserable experience. It's full of British idiots.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than coming to Australia and meeting British people who, the sort of British people who come to Australia, you know, backpackers, basically.
Yeah.
It's all very well, but... And all these people screaming at Toadfish, and I thought, this is why I left, the kind of thing. I told the festival this, and they responded by, arranging for us to actually go to Neighbours.
Well, then they thought he said, yes,
which is probably my wife's birthday, so I can't top that for birthday.
There you go.
Can you just say the name of your show again? What's it called?
You call them. I'm worried I'm starting to hate almost everyone in the world.
It's a very funny show, but I can see that it's based on real life.
On passion.
It is. Hey, listeners, what have you done?
Yeah.
What have you done? It's as simple as that. It's get this. We will accept anything.
But, mate, you have a brag. Let's have a brag today, you know?
1-3-3-5-3. 1-3-3-5-3. Big note yourself. Oh, look, that Snow Patrol hands open. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. We're already in Easter mode. Mark Watson is with us, comedian Mark Watson. Have to go and see his show if you're in Melbourne. But we're playing What Have You Done? Who's done something, Ed?
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. What did you do?
I've got one for Tones and one for Richard, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see Howard Jones last week, Tony.
Howard Jones, Mark Watson doesn't believe that he's really touring. He is touring.
He is absolutely touring. Oh, and the reason I went to see him was because you alerted me to the fact.
Ah, good. We're helping out.
And was it a good show?
It was a very formal affair.
About the merch.
There was a lot of merch. In fact, I bought some merch. I bought a signed CD.
Was it from his parents, though?
Was that his story?
Story that his parents sell merch?
His parents weren't running the merch.
Thank God for that. That made me feel very miserable.
Yeah, they were lugging the gear of the car out the back.
Oh, I can't bear it. I can't make it with Jones' parents.
But it was very formal tones. You had to sit down for the whole show.
Oh,
and it started at 8:30 on the dot. And there was an intermission.
Well, so it's not the normal crazy anarchy you get into the Howard Jones thing.
Not as much crowd surfing as usual.
But the hair's still the same, it's just a bit shorter.
Now, you said you have something for Richard.
Oh. Yes, I've picked up at Proscenium, Richard.
Oh, okay.
It's the club where Richard used to DJ, the golf club in Adelaide.
In Adelaide,
right. Something quite different.
Yeah.
And was Rich on the Wheels of Steel?
Look, I don't remember, and it was such a long time ago, and it could have even been Richard, but he didn't pick up there, so I'm guessing it's not him.
Do you remember the song that did it, Rachel? Something by Rosetta Stone, maybe Bauhaus?
No, I don't. I think it was the Smiths. Did you ever play that?
Yeah, it was Charlie Man gets him going.
Now, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Rachel.
No problem.
You're also, Australians always saying, look, as well. So, how's your day? Oh, look, it was good.
I'm already listening to you. You don't have to just emphasize things anymore.
Bye, friends.
And then we're attracting like as well from America.
Oh,
a lot of like.
Hi, Francis, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. What did you do?
It was very immature. One of my kids met the political, I think, Murray Thompson, the member for Sandringham.
Oh, yes.
And she came home from school and said, Mum, he's an incredibly rude so-and-so. So with the kids in the car, coming back from school, got the big black texter out on the poster of Murray on Beach Road and defaced it.
And what kind of defacing did you go for?
Standard Hitler mustache.
This country's on the brink of revolution. Good job, Francis.
But the kids really enjoyed it.
Let's get one to Mugabe.
That poster.
That's so
to
nice.
And from school.
Are you sitting there with, you know, gunning the engine going, come on, kids?
I hope anywhere near my poster. I'd like to
say. So they just said, Mum, you're completely tragic. And I said, no, it's good. It's all right. I said, he was rude and this is a bit of payback.
So, Francis, have you got a long weekend of vandalism planned with the kids?
Yeah, we've just got a bit of chalk, actually.
Joe's egging with the kids?
Why not?
Lovely.
That's pretty good.
Hi, David, how are you?
Oh, g'day, how are you?
Really good, man. What have you done? What have you
done? Well, I wanted to try to top Richard's story.
Oh, yeah? How can you?
Easy done.
Well, I was going on a trip to Los Angeles a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yes, you are.
So I looked up, before I went, the location they're in the film, which is San Dimas. Mm-hmm. This is a few hours outside of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Yellow Pages search, and I found a Circle K, which is a service station that they're in front of in the movie.
Wow. And you went there?
I went there, and I got a picture outside it.
And were there other people in the show?
No, absolutely.
What's the view?
No, not exactly.
And would you describe it as bogus?
It was
bogus.
Yes, fairly bogus.
Congratulations, man.
Fairly bogus, dude.
Well done. Well done, you.
Bill and Ted's fairly bogus journey. Who's going next?
Cassandra, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. What have you done?
Well, I used to do a little bit of short film acting many, many years ago.
Yes.
I've got stories up the gooner. I think the worst one...
Stories up the gooner? That was yesterday's show.
Just drag that out for us. Please arrest up the gooner.
Don't empty the gooner fully. Just give us one of those stories that you said.
The worst one would be I ended up having to wear a very skimpy nurse's uniform. I'm talking very short, very low cut. Wearing that, riding an elephant.
So what was it for? What was the purpose of that scene?
Look, it was a university film, we can imagine.
Where did they get an elephant?
Pardon?
Where did they get an elephant?
From Ashton Circus.
It was up the gooner. You were riding an elephant in a skimpy nurse's outfit.
I tell my kids this story now and they look at me like I'm on crack.
Yeah, well, they might have a point. Thank you very much.
Crack up the goon. Going next.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
G'day, guys. Not too bad, thank you.
And what have you done?
I certainly had a few things in a row.
Yeah.
On grand final day at the AFL,
yeah.
We had drinks after the game in the bar where the cricket nets are underneath.
Oh, yeah.
We went down there, emptied the place out by letting the fire extinguisher off after we'd had too many and were kicked out.
Sure. Good job. Yep.
Me and my mate then decided to strip off.
Yeah.
Run from one end of the ground to the other.
How far did you get?
Well, we made it.
Oh, yeah.
You did the job.
About 11 o'clock at night, all we could hear was the cleaners clapping and laughing that were playing the grandstand.
Oh, okay. So it's an off-peak out street.
Yeah. I think the fine for this for an off-peak.
This is just taking it near buildings.
Or is it just going to make you nuts?
And will you be doing that again, Paul?
Oh, we didn't finish. We get to the end, out the turnstile, into the park, obviously lose the day's takings in the park.
Yeah.
Get across to the pub, and there's a heap of people coming into the pub, got their sunnies on their head, all covered in white from the fire extinguisher. Go some, oh, sorry, let off the fire extinguisher and cleared the place out.
Well done, Paul. Thank you very much. You know, we are running so late, but it is our last show of the week. It's our last show of next Tuesday.
Up the gooner. Sounds worth 3 or 4 minutes overrunning.
Sure. Let's just sneak one more in, Ed. We're not allowed to.
Murray, how are you?
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, really good. What have you done?
Mate, I've just done it. I've knocked off for the long weekend.
Yeah.
Did you knock off from some important job that we need you to be doing? Monitoring traffic, air traffic control, some kind of field like that?
Cab driver, mate.
Oh, right. Well, there you go. You've heard the rest, mate.
Yeah. Yes, that's the rest. Fantastic.
I'm going to be the drunk tonight instead of pick up the drunk.
Sorry. Give them some of their own medicine. Good on you. It's good. Thank you. And we hope to see you again next year for a checkup.
Knows where I'll be by that time.
Mark is doing a fantastic show at this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Go and see that. And then you're on that mad tour around the
corner. I'm going to think so in
2 weeks. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Sydney listeners can cop a bit of action. Thanks to everyone who called in. We will be back on Tuesday. And our key phrase today, I think it was Mark Watson, where
you said your mother's out of the